Today's Shi'ez Masechta Ervin Daf Samach Beis. We will begin at the new Perek at Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. The Perek we begin now by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach goes back to discussing at great length the halachas of Shtufim Avos and Erev Chatzeres, as we've discussed many times, Baruch Hashem, in our Shiurim. The way that homes were constructed in those days was that there were a number of homes that opened into a chatzer, and then a number of chatzeres open up to a mavi. The Rambam, in Hilchus Ervin, at the beginning of Perek Aleph, gives us a wonderful background to this entire history of Ervin. He says, Chatzer sheyesh bo shchenim harbe, a chatzer that has many neighbors, kol echod mehem bebayis latzmai, everybody living in their own home. Then Tairuhu, Midiraisa, he says, Shekulam Tarmal Tatab Kalachotzer. Everybody should be allowed to carry in that Kalachotzer, in the entire Chotzer. Or Batal Chotzer, from the homes to the Chotzer, Mechotzer Labatim, from the Chotzer to the homes. Neshekola Chotzer Rishosu Yachad Achas. The entire Chotzer is one Rishosu Yachad. And since it's all one Rishosu Yachad, Mutal Tatab Kula, you could carry everywhere. The Kenadin Mamavi. And so too should be the Halacha, says the Rambam, with a mavi that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, sheyesh lelechi akaira, that has a lechi akaira, you should be allowed to carry there. V'cheinu b'medina, shemukaf eschayim, if you have an entire country that's surrounded by a wall. Avam b'divri soifrim, Chazal, Rabbanan, told us, os l'shcheinu b'taltul, b'shus ha-yochid, sheyesh b'chaluka b'diurim. If there are separate homes, that each home cannot carry to each other, until they all make one, until they make an Erev, Me'erev Shabbos. And this was enacted by Shlomo Melech and his Bezdin. And the Rambam says, why did Shlomo make this rule? Shlomo Melech make this rule? People are going to think that if I'm allowed to carry under these circumstances, people are going to make a mistake and they're going to think you could always carry from a Shusha Yochet to Shusha Rabim. They're going to forget that Hatzah is a Malacha. So therefore, if two Jews live in two homes in a Chatzar, or two Chatzeris in a Mavoi, you can't carry between the chatzeres. You can't carry from the homes to the chatzeres, from the chatzeres to the mavi, unless you make a ruva chatzeres for the chatzer and shtufei mevas for the mavi. As we learned earlier, truthfully, shtufei mevas should cover the needs that a ruva chatzeres cover as well, because the shtufei mevas cover even the mavis to which all the chatzeres open. The reason Chazal took this position that you don't need to make, that you need to make shtufim vayis in every chatzeres, we learned earlier in the Masechta, k'shloi tishtakuch tairis ervin, mida tanoikis. Chazal were concerned that if we're only going to make shtufim vayis and never make a ruvich chatzeres, people, children, will forget about this entire concept of making a ruvich chatzeres. And the way, as we learned many times, Chazal said we should make a ruvich chatzeres, is that all the people who live in the chatzer have to contribute, and by them contributing, what happens is that it becomes, they're all connected with the chatzer, with a ruvich chatzeres, and the same is the halacha by shtufim vayis. Where do we put the erev? The Erev is put in one of the homes of that chatzer. Actually, making an Erev is a mitzvah. When an Erev is made, a bracha is made on that. So it turns out the Chasam Sofer teaches us, in the Shas Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Chelek Aleph Ar Chaim Simit Tzadik Tes, that it's a mitzvah that if you have such a setup to make an Erev, and the mitzvah is to avoid, as we're learning, the isser of carrying where you're not allowed to carry. And that's why it became quite common in previous generations till today that we make a Ruvi Chatzeres to be able to carry. If, however, people did not contribute to the Erev, so if one of the Jewish neighbors did not contribute to the Erev, what we're going to learn is you could do Bitl Rishos, and we've discussed this also previously in a Masechta, that the person who didn't contribute is Mevatel Rishos, which creates a circumstance as if he's not here. And if it creates a circumstance as if he's not here, so therefore there is no problem where he didn't contribute. But what happens if you have an Akum here? So technically, as we're going to learn in today's shiur, a Diras Akum really doesn't represent the problem. Diras Akum loishma dira. However, Chazal, for different reasons that we're going to learn in our shiur today, said that the only way that we could solve the problem of an Akum being here, who can't contribute to the Erev, even if he can't contribute to the Erev because the halacha of Erev wasn't set to an Akum, what should do is we should rent his property. And by renting his property, he's no longer here. And this is a critical part of Hilchas Erev. And this halacha doesn't only apply to an Akum. The halacha is that a Yisrael, who's a Mechal Shabbos, also cannot contribute to an Erev. His contribution to an Erev will not be effective. His Bittel Rishus will not be effective. But what will be effective is that we could do Schiris. As we're going to learn in the Mishnah, there were also Kutim who were brought from Sancheriv Melech Ashur to Eretz Yisrael after he captured Eretz Yisrael. There's a machloikus throughout Shas, machloikus Tanoim, if the Kutim are Geri Emes and they're considered Yisraelim or they're not Geri Emes. But certainly the halacha is that their status is not the same as a regular Yisrael. And then there were Tzadokim and Baisusim, who were Minim Apikarsim, did not believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. And there, the halacha is, there too we're going to see how we treat them if they're neighbors. But what we're going to learn in today's shiur, and just to put it for discussion immediately, is that certainly if there's an Akum living here, the way we could solve the problem of an Akum living here, there's really only one way of doing that, and that is by renting his area. We're going to learn in the Gemara that even a schiras ru'ua, even a weak type of transaction, is satisfactory. And in fact, the Paiskim say, therefore, if you take rishus from the government, so now there's a question. The government doesn't own my private property. The government doesn't own the Akum's private property. So the question will automatically come up, just because I go and do a transaction with the government, with the municipality, how does that help the Erev? They don't own that property. So the Paiskim say that since the government, when absolutely necessary, has the right to make a person leave his home, sell his home, displace him, so we see that the ultimate ability is in the hands of the government, and therefore doing a transaction with them would be satisfactory. There are Paiskim that are not satisfied with that approach, because they say that, number one, in most democratic societies, the government doesn't have that type of absolute power. Furthermore, even in those situations, in many cities there are consulates and embassies. And certainly in a consulate and embassy, the ability of the government is much weaker. They don't have that type of authority over those areas. And therefore, there's a new approach that the Paiskim take to this question. And they say that you don't have to rent it necessarily from the person who is the tenant in that property. If there are people who have access at all times to that property, so in halacha, those individuals are called the schirai and lekitai. They're considered like the workers of this akum. And if they have access, I could latch on to their access. And because I could latch on to their access, if the electric company and the gas company have access to properties to read the meters or do whatever they have to do, that is a satisfactory way of doing this type of transaction. Now, this issue doesn't only apply to Akum, frankly. It also applies, as we see, to Yisraelim who are not Shomer Shabbos, or, as a question that comes up, let's say an Erev is made around the community. And normally, we've said previously in our Shurim, that when we speak about Hilchas Erevin, we apply the concept of Zochen La'odom Shloi B'fonav. It's a schus to make an Erev for somebody he should be able to carry. But we can't apply the concept of Zochen La'odom Shloi B'fonav to a person who, for whatever reason, doesn't want to be part of this Erev. And as we keep on repeating, in order for an Erev to be effective, everybody has to participate in the Erev. So how is an Erev effective where we can't apply the where we can't say, well, I'm making it for this person and he's going to be satisfied, Zochen La'odom Shloi B'fonav. But we just discussed that just like when we have a Jew who's not Shem Shabbos, the way we can make an Erev is with Tzchiris. By an Akum, we just saw Tzchiris is effective. Will Tzchiris be effective by a Jew as well? Meaning, if I'm doing this Tzchiris with the government or the electric company, with the telephone company, and they obviously have access to the homes of the Jews as well, will that be effective? The Maram Rotenberg's opinion was that Tzchiris is only effective by an Akum. However, the Rosh opinion is that it's effective even by a Jew. And the truth is, the Rosh's opinion is very understandable, because why should a Jew be any different than an Akum? If Schiris is effective, and Bittul Rishus is effective by Yisrael, Schiris should certainly be effective. And in fact, that those that want to suggest, the Magen Avraham and the Karban Nisanal, that he didn't, the Maram Rotenberg never meant to say that Schiris is not affected by Yisrael. What he meant to say is that on Shabbos you can't do the Schiris, because you can't do business transaction on Shabbos. But during the week you could do Schiris with a Yisrael as well. The Chazon Ish tried to explain the Maram Rotenberg's opinion, because as we learned, and we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, that even a Schiris Ru'uah, even a weak Schiris, is an effective Schiris. But that may only be by a Jew, that may only be by an Akum, not by Yisrael. The Mishnah Brura regarding this question in Siman Shin Peis of Katan Yud Gimel says that the Eli Rabba was machmer, like the Maram Rotenberg, that Schiris is not effective by Yisrael. However, most Achroinim, the Sharetzin quotes that that's the opinion of Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Atzei Shittim and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that Schiris helps by Yisrael as well. So begins the Mishnah. Hadar Maiv Kachavim B'chatzar. Somebody lives with an Akum in the same Chatzar. Oy Mishayin Maid Be'erif. Or together with a Kuti, who we just identified who they are. Whether you consider their Geiris authentic, or whether you don't consider their Geiris authentic, they certainly were not Maida in Erif. So therefore, Hareza Oysalov, we have now an issue that we're living here with somebody in this Chatzar. Everybody in the Chatzar has to participate in the Erev, but we have here somebody who isn't part, who's a Kuti or Enemoy de Be'erev. Most Rishonim say that when we speak here about a kuti or this type of individual to make an issue has, it doesn't make a difference if he's an owner of the apartment or if he's just a tenant at the apartment. Once he lives here, the issues arise. So what Rashi says, if we look at Rashi, when Rashi Divrei HaMaskil Oyser says, Oyser l'tatam beis l'chotzer, at she yiskim menes rishuse b'chotzer. You have to rent his area in the chotzer. So the big biya locha in Simon Shin Pei Beis, Divrei HaMaskil Az, says that it's not, the issue is carrying the chotzer itself. Something that's in the chotzer is mutter to be carried. Chiddush. What osur is carrying from the homes to the chotzer. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Oymer, La'olam eina osur, at she shnei Yisraelim osurim zel zeh. So says Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, the only time we have a problem is when we have two Jews there. But if it's only one Akum and one Jew, then we wouldn't have a problem. And the Gemara is going to explain why there's a difference between one Jew or two Jews. Continues the Mishnah. We've learned now that a Nochri and a Kuti create a problem for all the other people who live in their chotzer, how they can carry from the homes to the chotzer. And for these individuals, for the Nochri, for the Kuti, Erev is not an option. Bittul Rishus is not an option. The only option that's available is to be Soichad Rishus. Not a question, as I mentioned when we started the Mishnah, is what's going to be with a Tzedoki. According to the Tanakhama, the Tzedoki has the same halacha as a Nochri. Rabbi Gamliel disagrees. Rabbi Gamliel, a Tzedoki is not considered like a Nochri, and he could be Mevatel Rishus, and by him being Mevatel Rishus, then the rest of us can use the Chatzar. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, and Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Gamliel brings a raya to his story. There was an episode that we lived in the same Mavi in Yerushalayim with a Tzedoki, and our father told us, Maru v'choytzi es hakelim, take out your kelim to the Mavi right after Shabbos, and like this, you'll take ownership of this Mavi, atchi lo yotzi, before the Tzedoki will take out his kelim, v'yasar lechem. So what he understood meant was that Tzedoki had b'mevatel rishus, as we learned, a Tzedoki has the ability to mevatel rishus. And what Bittul Rishus accomplishes is that this person who's in Vatul Rishus doesn't live here. So what you should do is take out your kelim first. And by you taking out your kelim, that means you're taking ownership in this entire chotzer. And afterwards, even if the kuti will, even if the tzedoki will take it out, it'll be too little, too late. And this is a raya. Say to Rishonim, that Schiris wasn't required. Because if we're worried about him being Mevatel, nullifying the Schiris, you can't just cancel a contract. If there was a Schiris, he can't cancel the contract. So it must be that Bittul Rishus was enough, but they wanted that he could not retract on his Bittul Rishus. And the way they did so was by doing a maisa of going to that chotzer, and that shows that it's theirs, not his. The Kesef Mishnah asks, why did we have to go through this whole procedure? Why didn't we just do schiris? And if we would have just done schiris, we just said schiris cannot be reversed. So the Kesef Mishnah says that this is a raya to the opinion of the Maram Rattenberg, that Schiris doesn't work only by a Nochri. The simple pshat is that this Bittul Rishus was easier to do than the Schiris, and that's what I did it. So according to Gamliel, Rashi explains, there's a difference between a Tzedoki and a Kuti. And the Kuti are Geirei Royus, according to Gamliel, so they're not considered Jews. If they're not considered Jews, Bittul Rishus will not be effective. The Tzedokim are considered Jews, and therefore, Bittul Rishus is an option. Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'Loshon Acher. Rabbi Yehuda says a different version of what happened. Ma'u v'asu tzrichechem m'mavi. What he told them was, quickly do whatever you need to do. Bring in or take out whatever you need from the mavi. Achla yoytze v'leis aleichem. Because according to him, what as soon as the tzdoiki shows that he is being mevatel rishus, then he could be that he's being mevatel his bittel. He's going back on his bittel rishus. It becomes bottle. So he says, you better do whatever you have to do before it's too late. That's the posh pshat, that bittel rishus is effective, but it's only effective until he reverses himself. A different pshat that I saw was seen in the Gemara, as Rabbi Yehuda was actually saying, that bittel rishus is not affected by goy. Now, Rashi says that at what point, according to the first version, do they have to do this ma'isa chazaka? Only after Shabbos, Meshikida Shayoyim. There are, however, and Chacham Tzvi explains why. And if the whole point of doing whatever, taking some level of ownership is required, so why can't it be done even from Erev Shabbos? So the Shas Shuvas Chacham Tzvi explains Rashi's opinion that just like we keep on learning this Masechta, that the moment of the defining moment of an Erev is by Ben Hashmashes. Since Ben Hashmashes is the defining moment of the Erev, that's why everything has to be done by Ben Hashmashes. Any other time is not effective. The Torah, however, disagrees, and he holds that it doesn't make a difference. As long as the Yisrael does a Maisa Chazaka before the Tzedoki reverses himself, it's going to be effective. Of course, I saw that the Rishonim point out that this is not a chazaka in the traditional sense of a chazaka, which is a kinyan, but what's required is that you have to do some sort of a showing that this is what you mean. Going back to the issue that we discussed earlier, what's the halacha with Yisraelim who don't want to participate in the Erev? Will Schiris be effective? The Machloikus of the Rosh and the Maram Rattenberg. I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Shalos Tshuvas Chelkas Yaakov, Or Chaim Simen Kuf Pei Beis, that says that even if we'll say, like the Maram Rattenberg suggests, that you can't do Schiris from Yisrael, that's if you only want to do Schiris from Yisrael. But if you want to do Schiris, a combination of Yisrael and Akum, you're doing Schiris with Akum anyway, then it's effective. The Bia Alocha in Simen Shin Pei Beis discusses when we're doing Schiris, what has to come first, the Schiris or the Eruv Chetzeris? So he says, L'chatchila, certainly the Schiris should be done first and then after Eruv. And in fact, he says, if you're going to do the Eruv before you do the Schiris, you can't make a bracha on that Erev because the Erev is not effective because you have the problem with the Akum here. But B'dieved says, if you did the Schiris after putting the Erev, as long as the Schiris was done before Bein HaShmashes, it's considered effective. Begins the Gemara. Our Mishnah said that if somebody lives with an Akum or Misha Enem Moedah B'Erev, you have a problem. And Rabbi Lezman Yaakov added in the Mishnah that it's only a problem if you have two Yisraelim. Says the Gemara, Yosef Abayi Bar Oven, Rav Chinana Bar Oven, Yosef Avayu Gabayu, Abayu was sitting with them, Yosef Kamri. Bishlam Rameya, Rameya's opinion that says that Akum is a problem is very understandable. Because Rameya obviously holds, Kasova Diris Akum Shmadira, the Akum having an apartment here is a halachic consideration. And therefore, v'loishna chad, v'loishna trey. No difference if there's one Akum or two Akum, we need to deal with the fact that he is one of the members of this chatzar. El Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But ask the Gemara, how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? My kasava, what is exactly his opinion? Ikasava diris Akum shmadira. If he holds that his being here is a halacha concern. So then I feel chamin that nitzer. Even one akum should be a problem. And if on the other hand he holds loishma dira, his dira is not considered a dira, then I feel a train namin nitzer. So it shouldn't make a difference, even if they're two akum. Amluhu. So Abaye said, Savar Rabbeya dira's akushma adira. Could you even, in explaining Rameya, the Tanakama, you said that he certainly holds that dira's akum shma dira. Asked him about Tanya, Chatzer Shalavit Kechavim, the home of the Akum is Kedei Shel Behemus. So just like if there's a barn of animals, it doesn't make a difference, so too, the deer of the Akum doesn't make a difference. And therefore, Ella said Abayi, the Kulam Adir Zayav Kecham Lo Shmadir. It's not a concern. V'hochop, what is the machloikis between Rameya, Tanakama, and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov? The machloikis is a different concern altogether. Shema Yima Mamas of Kemufgi. Since their dira there is not something to be concerned, so the only time they make it, the only reason they made a gzera is because we shouldn't learn from them. And the question was, when did they make a gzera? Rabbi Lazar Yaakov Savar, Kivin Davkham Khoshra Shvichistamim, the Akum were people that were accused to be even do Shvichistamim, Trey Shvich the diary. So no Jew will live with an Akum himself, because he's putting his life into danger. So therefore, one Akum alone is a Milsul Shchicha, and therefore, since it's not likely to happen, only two are likely to happen, that's where Chazal made a gzeira. However, Ched Lo Shchich, to live one Jew with an Akum, Lo Gos Barabonim. Ramei Sover, Ramei on the other hand holds, Zimna the Mikri V'dayir, it could come out a situation that there's one Jew with an Akum, and therefore, Vomer Rabbonon, and therefore Rabbonon said, Ain Erev Moil B'Mokam Akum, that Erev is not effective in the place of an Akum. Vein Bithel Shus Moil B'Moil Av Kechavim, Atchi Yaskir, the only thing that's effective is to do Schiris, that's, and Av Kechavim Loi Mugger. And we're pretty sure that the Akum won't rent, and that's how we'll accomplish that the Jew won't live with the Akum. So the Goyen Yaakov says if we're worried that we don't want Jews to live with Akum, so why do we have to make it this way? Say, well, if you're going to live with an Akum, you're going to have a problem with Eruv Chatzeres. Just make a gzeira that we may not live with Akum. So he says that Chazal didn't want to make such a gzeira because they realized that sometimes there is no option that you have to end up living with the Akum. So just to make a rule you can't live with the Akum would not be reasonable. But they wanted to avoid it, and therefore the way they accomplished by avoiding it is by saying you could live there, but you'll have a problem with the Ruvi Chatzeres. Furthermore, the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, Ayur Chaim Simon Tzadik Beis, asks, so we could understand this Gzeira in the time of Chazal, where it wasn't so common that Jews lived with the same Chatzav and Akum, so we want to prevent them from being together. But ask the Chassam Sofer, nowadays we live with Akum all over. So why are these halachas still applicable? Answers the Chassam Sofer, and this is a common thread in the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. He says, once Chazal make a gzeira, even if the reason of the gzeira falls away, it doesn't make a difference. Even if you make a gzeira with the Akum, the gzeira remains even if the reason falls away. So ask the Gemara, why won't the Akum want to rent? We're saying we want to make it difficult, and the Akum are not going to want the rent. My timer. They're going to be concerned that what am I trying to do with the schiris? I'm trying to take ownership of his property. According to Mandam, that you have to have a real transaction, a real renting agreement, so we could understand that's why the Akum will be concerned. And the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Elamanda omes chiris ruubin, and you don't have to have a very strong transaction. So, Michael, remember, why will they be concerned? Ditmar, as we learned, Rav Chisda Omar, when we do chiris bria, it has to be a very firm deal. Rav Sheshes Omar, chiris ruah, even a weak transaction is satisfactory. So, ask the Gemara, my ruah, my bria. What is the difference between ruah and bria? Elam bria means with pruta, and ruah means that the renting was done with a pruta, and the ruah means that it was done with pachs mishav pruta,
Ask the Gemara, Mi Yikla Man Damashim, I've Kacham Pachs Pruta Loi. Is there anybody that would say that you can't do a deal with an Akam on less than Shavuot Pruta? For Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yaakov Bagayuri Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, have a Yoidim? You should all be aware. Shesoichim and I've Kacham Afil Bipachs Mishavuot Pruta. When we rent something from an Akam, even less than a Shavuot Pruta is satisfactory. The Omar Rabbi Chibar Abba Omar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Noyag. Normally, if somebody steals from somebody else, it's only considered a ma'isik zeila if it was a pruta. The ben noyach have design mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Gzeila is one of the design mitzvahs b'nei noyach. And not only is gzeila one of the design mitzvahs b'nei noyach, the akum for every one of them, achiv mechuy misav, they violate them. And the halacha is, it's even pachs mishav pruta that they're nerig. V'lo nitin l'shavim. By Yisrael, the Torah says, that if somebody steals chas v'sholem, the heshev is a gzela. And by giving it back, you repair the life sigzel. And by ben noyach, where the Torah doesn't give them a mitzvah of his heshev as a gzela, as soon as they're stealing, the chayiv misa. And now the Gemara says that not only as soon as they steal the chayiv misa, because they have no way of correcting this avera, but even if it was pachs mishava pruta. So the Gemara's question is, if by an akum, even pachs mishava pruta is considered a schiris, that can't be the difference between ru'ua and bria. And the Rishash points out, it doesn't make a difference that's the Jew who's renting from the akum. And by a Jew, pachs mishava pruta doesn't have any halachic meaning, because once the Akam is involved in this transaction, and by him, pachs mishava pruta is considered money, so by the Jew, it's the same. However, points out the Mishnah Berurah, that's only a Jew who's renting the property from an Akam. If the Jew is renting property from Yisrael, pachs mishava pruta wouldn't work. Ella, so now we're back to where we started. What is the difference between Bria and Ruah? Bria means b'maharkiv avrunim. That means you could bring all types of things to that property. Ruah b'loy maharkiv avrunim. In other words, Rav Chisda holds that in order to make this schiris a very good schiris, you have to be able to actually use the property you're renting. And the other mandama says you don't have to use the property. You don't have to actually be able to use the property. It's still considered tzchiris. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains the Gemara means that does it have to be officially registered, or just doing the tzchiris between the Jew and the Akum is adequate? Says the Gemara. Hanicha. So now we can understand. The mandama tzchiris bria beinon. That you have to be able to have the right to use the chotzer. So now we understand why the Akum will never be interested in doing that type of transaction. Any type of transaction, even if you don't have to have that strong right, is adequate. So now the question is, why will the Akum not do schiris? It doesn't make a big difference. Says the Gemara, even if you don't need to do a full-fledged schiris, the Akum, when he sees that the Jew approaches him and wants to do this type of a transaction, he doesn't understand what's going on here. He thinks that what the Jew is doing kshafim. He's doing some sort of kishif with him. And therefore, that will prevent him from renting. There's a very interesting machloikis. The Hagos Oshri says that when you do schiris from an akum, you have to do it every week. Every week you have to do the schiris again. However, the Beis Yosef in Aruchayim Simen Shin Pei Beis, Sevav and Ches, says that and he says that Rashi holds that way, but the Rosh says that you don't have to do a separate schiris every week. If you do a schiris once, it's adequate. Here we see our Gemara just taught us a famous klal that ben noyig nerag apachs mishava pruta. So I saw that
that the Sefer Or Meir says a beautiful pshat. He says that we know that the Bnei Noach, the Dor HaMabul, Loi Nechtem Dinam El Al HaGezel, because they stole. And the Or Meir asks, we could understand the people who did the stealing did terrible Aveira. But the people who were stolen from, what was their Aveira that they deserve to get the terrible punishment of the Mabel? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says, what did the people who steal, how much did they steal? They stole Pax Mishava Pruta. Why is the Pax Mishava Pruta considered a Maisa Gzela? Because to the people who it was stolen from, it was considered a significant amount of money. If from the people who it was stolen from, if they wouldn't have cared, then it wouldn't have been considered a Maisa Gzela. So now we understand that not only did the people who stole create the situation of it being a Mabel, the people who it was stolen from and caring that it was stolen from them also made a situation of a Mabel. Says the Gemara Gufa, Chatzeris Shel Avi Kechavim, we discussed earlier that the Chatzer of an Akum Hareyu Kedir Shebehema. And just like, as we learned, if animals have a barn, there's no problem, so too the Akum's Rishus is no problem. And therefore, says the Gemara, Mutar L'Hachnas L'Haitzi Min HaChatz L'Batim V'Batim L'Chatzer, you may carry in and out from their home to the Chatzer and vice versa. Vim Yesham Yisrael Echad. But if there's, that means if there's an Akum, if there's a Chatzer only with Akum. So what the Gemara is teaching us is that since the Akum doesn't make a difference, so the halacha is that you could take things from the homes of the Akum to the Chatzer and vice versa. When does the problem come up? It only comes up, says the Gemara, im yesham Yisrael echad. If there's a Jew there, and as we're learning, the concern is because we don't want the Jew to live in the same Chatzer as the Akum, oisa, that's when the problems begin. Divrei Rameyer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, loylam ein oisar, there's no problem, atche shnei Yisraelim, until you have two Jews living in that chatzer, and that's when the oisim zelze, that's when the problems begin. And that's the halacha, that in order to solve any problems, that you have to rent, when there's an akum in that area, you have to rent from the akum the area. We also learned that we could buy, that the schiris from the akum could be even with Pachs Mishava Pruta. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Shas of Tshuvas Be'er Sorim, Chelik Dalit Simen Men. Our Gemara says that because, as we just explained, by the Akum, a Pachs Mishava Pruta is considered so significant, that's why by the Akum, when you're renting the Rishus, even a Pachs Mishava Pruta is going to affect the Kinyan. He discusses there, is this a halacha that was strictly stated by Erevin, or by any transaction where a kinyan is required? The best example I could think of is Mechiras Chametz. When we do Mechiras Chametz with an Akum, and we have to do a Maisa Kinyan, will the halacha be that even if you use a Pachs Meshava Pruta to affect the kinyan, which normally, of course, we know is not an effective means of doing a kinyan, will it be effective here? He says that it's strictly a halacha by Erevin, a concept that we have discussed numerous times in our shiurim, that Erevin, the Rabbanon, Hilchas, a Kamekel by Erevin, we always take a more lenient approach when we speak about Erevin, but we can't say by all other transactions that we do with an Akum that even Pachs Meshava Pruta would affect the Kenyan. Yeah. Amamar, so says the Gemara, we just quoted the Braisa, where the Braisa says, Chatzer Shel Akum, Harei Kedisha Behema, that the Akum's Chatzer is considered like a barn of an animal. And therefore, if he were the only one there, there wouldn't be a problem of carrying from his home to the Chatzar. Ask the Gemara, for Anantanan, have we learned in our Mishnah, Hadar Ma'ev Kacham B'Chatzar Reza Oysalov? Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Hadi Isay, if the Akum is there, so we have to be concerned about him. Hadal Isay, but if he's not there, we don't have a problem. Ask the Gemara,
My kasover. Exactly how do we understand this? If we're saying that the fact that the owner is not there still is an issue, so I feel the fact that the akum is not there, so why does that make it any better? That if the owner is not there over Shabbos, Yisrael nami loy litzer. So then the halacha should be, even if the Jew has an apartment or home there, but he's not there for Shabbos, he shouldn't create an issue. And we've learned that it is an issue, even if the Yisrael is not there. Answers the Gemara loylan kasava dir b'loy balim loy shmadira. If the balim aren't there, then they don't make a difference. However, the Yisrael d'chi isay osur. If Yisrael is there, it's a full-fledged problem. Every Jewish neighbor, every Jewish partner or tenant is an issue. So that's why even when he's not there, however, when we speak about the Akum, the Ki'esa, when they're there, the only reason they're a problem is, as we've discussed earlier, is only because Gzeirus Shema Yilmah Mamasov, because so we may learn from his ways. So, but it really, halachically, their presence doesn't make a difference because Diris Akum Lo Shma Dira. So Ki'ise, when he's physically there, Osir, we have a problem. When he's not there, Lo Osir. Ask the Gemara V'chileise Lo Osir. If he's not there, it's not a problem. But Tanan, we're going to learn a Mishnah on that Pei Vavam and Aleph, that if the Akum, If somebody has a house there and he went elsewhere for Shabbos, Echa Nochiv Echa Yisrael, whether it's an Akum or whether it's Yisrael, Oyser, it creates a problem. So why are we saying that the Akum not being, when the Akum's not there, there's no problem? And it's Divrei Ramei, it's Ramei's opinion. Answers the Gemara, Hasam the Asa B'yoyma. There we're not talking about an Akum that's gone, we're talking about an Akum that's going to come back that day. And since the Akum is going to come back that day, he creates a problem. So just to summarize, when you have a number of Yisraelim in one chatzar, you have to have an Erev Chatzeris. A dira without the owners there is really not a problem. However, by Yisrael, since when he's there, we have a real problem. Chazal made a gzera. By Nochrim, it's not a gzera. If you have only Akum living in a chatzar, then there's no need for Ruvah Chatzeris. And not only is there no need for Ruvah Chatzeris, if you, the Jew, go there, you could carry from the Chatzah to their homes or vice versa. If there are two Jews together with the Akum, according to Belezer, you have to have that you rent Schiris from the Akum. According to Rameyer, even by one Jew. And it's interesting to point out that the Rishonim explain the reason we're Rameyer is more machmer even with one Akum, and Reb Elezer ben Yaakov says you need two Akum, because throughout Shas we know the Rameyer is the man, the Omer, that's Chai Shlemiuta. So what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said in Amr Aleph, it's not likely, said Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, for one Jew to live with one Akum. And since it's not likely for one Jew to live with one Akum, they saw no reason to make a Gzeira. Says, that's only according to Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. Ramey, who's Chai Shlemiuta, even for something it's not likely to happen, Ramey is always concerned about that. So since there is a situation where one Jew is going to live with one Akum, we have to be Machmer. When the Nochri is not there that Shabbos, and he's not going to be coming that Shabbos, we have no reason to be concerned, and therefore nothing is needed to be done with that Akum. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Halacha B'lez Ben Yaakov, the Halacha is like Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. Rav Huna Amar, Minig Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. It's the Minig. What's the difference of Halacha or Minig? If it's Halacha, it's something that we speak about publicly. If it's a Minig, it's what we do, but we don't say that that's the Halacha publicly. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan says, Nogu Am, Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, that everybody follows the opinion like Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, that we even though we don't publicly speak about it, somebody who follows the opinion of Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, we accept what he did.